This episode was suggested by my friend who goes by Des Fezzable. So, thank you, Des. I didn't realize how wild the situation was until I began my research. I'd heard about the hack at the time, but I didn't see just how in-depth it went. So thank you for suggesting this, because I'm not sure I would have covered it otherwise. Anyways, today I'm proud to present the Sony 2011 PSN hack. Sony was lagging behind in the online gaming world, the very limited online features being lackluster compared to that of the Xbox 360 and their online play capabilities. But Sony was determined to launch the PlayStation into the future with the PlayStation Network. There were many problems at first, but with the PS3, Sony was determined to improve the PlayStation Network in all areas, except security. You could message friends and games now, download games in the background. Sony may have even caught up to Microsoft, the current giant of the console wars, if it weren't for one pesky little hacker group and a security flaw embarrassing even by 2011 standards. And that's saying a lot, because no one cared about security in 2011. LulzSec is a hacking group with strange motivations. Not money, just for the lulz. This group was run by a bunch of kids aged 18 to 26, which is actually kind of impressive that they have hacking skills that young, but still, 2011 was a weird time for cybersecurity and hacking, with many hacktivist groups on the rise, and a very limited amount of experts on the defensive side. LulzSec used a hacking tool that, even by 2011, should not have worked, an SQL injection. Before I was into cybersecurity, I loved data, so I know a thing or two about SQL and SQL injections. An SQL injection is a type of injection attack where an outsider is able to inject malicious code into a website by taking advantage of special characters used by the language to write code. Basically, you can write your own SQL code to delete, modify, or see data, and just do stuff like type it into the username and password of a login screen. In a competent, modern database, these special characters and functions simply aren't allowed characters, and there's other methods to also block that off. This is partially why some sites only allow usernames with letters, numbers, and maybe a hyphen or an underscore. To highlight how basic of an attack this is, I taught myself how to do it before I even got into my hacking classes in about 30 minutes. It's not that hard. And I didn't even learn one type of SQL injection. I learned about three types in that time, then I'll take advantage of different systems. Of course, now I know much more sophisticated methods of hacking, but I tend to be more of a defensive and forensics type of person than an offensive person, so I don't do a lot of actual hacking, just more protection and analysis. Very exciting, I know. I cannot emphasize more how easy this type of attack is to learn, especially for a hacking group who already knows much more sophisticated hacking methods. So the only thing blocking any ordinary person from viewing the user data of millions of PlayStation users was a shittily coded login page that by 2011 was considered poorly secured. LulzSec even criticized Sony for being vulnerable to one of the most basic types of web attacks, and they had a really good point. Anyone could just copy and paste this code from the internet and see all sorts of user data Sony had. You don't even need to know the technicalities behind it, you can Google SQL injection, copy and paste it. That's it. Of course, LulzSec was a bit more sophisticated than the average person copying and pasting an SQL injection, and disguised their location by using a proxy server, which is a server between a client, LulzSec, and another server, the PlayStation Network. The proxy server used was called Hide My Ass, and it could, well, hide your ass, preventing your true location from being known. Hide My Ass was a pretty popular proxy server then and allowed you to do things like change your geolocation in order to see test results earlier, which is what I know a lot of advanced placement students did so they could get their AP score results early, including me. I did this. So yes, what I'm telling you right now is LulzSec used two things that the average internet user could just figure out on their own, and many average internet users did figure out on their own. At least in the case of Hide My Ass, I think an SQL injection may be a little out there for the average internet user, but someone with a decent hacking foundation would know about it. Anyways, back to the story, as much as I like to criticize Sony. LulzSec likely performed the attack April 17th, 2011, and Sony took the PlayStation offline 3 days later, April 20th, which is when they figured out something had gone wrong and they had to figure out exactly what it was. Sony had somewhat anticipated this, as earlier they had been bombarded with DDoS attacks. A distributed denial of service attack is an attack where multiple computers all over the world bombard servers with requests. These knock the server offline because they're not able to handle this amount of requests. These attacks were performed by the infamous hacker group Anonymous, but Anonymous quickly stopped these attacks when they realized they were really only hurting players, and they didn't want to do that. They wanted to harm Sony directly. Customers were growing restless, as 5 days later the PlayStation Network was still down and Sony was panicking. They knew they had a bad situation on their hands that they did not fully understand the extent of. All they knew was that personal information was stolen and they had to take down their network to avoid any future attacks. Finally, on May the 1st, the PlayStation networks were back up. Sort of. Services were rather limited, but it was better than nothing for PlayStation users. Except you couldn't play games, so no, it really wasn't. The very next day, Sony realized they had to explain themselves. A representative explained that servers had been down and were still mostly down because information from 77 million PlayStation accounts were accessed by the external lulzsec attack. This included credit card information. However, Sony encrypted this information. Encryption is scrambling the data into an unreadable form and only unscrambling it when a certain code is used. The credit card information was therefore not accessible to anyone on the outside, and to Sony's credit, they did offer identity theft protection to users. For free, AllClear ID would ensure that users did not have credit cards floating on the dark web and offered complete identity repair in the events of a theft. For up to $1 million per users for up to 12 months after the attack. By May 6th, the entire infrastructure for the PlayStation Network was nearly rebuilt. And I will just say that if your network is so insecure that you have to rebuild it from scratch, you have fucked up majorly somewhere along the line. Sony, however, still did not know the extent of the attack, and even admitted they could not say for certain that details like names, emails, and even home addresses were not breached. Spoiler alert, they were available. Not only, but purchase history and answers to security questions were made available as well. These details were of 77 million players, 77 million addresses, 77 million usernames, 77 million email addresses, 77 million real names could still be out there. Sony promised enraged gamers they'd still be able to play soon and there was nothing to worry about. They tried to explain that they'd kept this information secret for a bit to avoid hackers doing even more damage, that they would ensure your identity was protected with AllClear ID. Slowly, by May 14th, normal online services returned to North America, and Sony quickly had to shut down their password reset system on the 18th, again, because apparently you could just reset other users' passwords. I'm not even sure how you could possibly fuck up that bad, but compared to repairing their entire network infrastructure, that was a pretty quick fix, and didn't take them down for too much longer. Sony ended up being fined 250,000 British pounds, or $395,000 for poor security practices by the UK government. After this event, Sony had to change their terms and conditions. Not to improve security, but for pure damage control. Sony made users agree to give up their right to form a class action lawsuit against them in any future security breaches, and generally made it a lot more difficult to sue them in case your data was leaked. Sony did hire additional security professionals to implement any measures they could, required users to change their passwords, and promised to reveal all information to the public that I just explained to you today. I could not find evidence of credit cards used in the Sony 2011 PSN data breach being used fraudulently, but they still lost the trust of many users. Sony danced around problems and were vague until they realized they couldn't avoid telling the truth about sensitive data possibly out there. Sony settled class action lawsuits by handing out free games, which cost them next to nothing, but ended up forking over 2.75 million actual US dollars to attorneys. Despite trying to protect users from identity theft, the details leaked could still be used by bad actors, which is really just another term for cybercriminals, typically ones using social engineering or manipulation to pretend to be someone else using personal details they gained access to this very day. Knowing someone's former address can answer identity questions at banks and still allow for identity theft even after a year that AllClear ID gave them had passed. At the time, this was the biggest data breach, and it was humiliating for Sony. There have been data breaches larger than this, but none that knocked out entire networks for nearly a month while network infrastructure had to be completely rebuilt. And like most data breaches, Sony knew of this vulnerability beforehand and simply did not believe it would be exploited despite how easy it was to exploit. If you're bleeding hundreds of millions and scrambling to go back online, lost sales, hiring new security professionals, and in lawsuits, Sony soon learned that no security is far more expensive than good security. A lesson that will be learned time and time again with corporations that should know better. My name is Chloe Tonis, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Bite Size Cybercrime. Next week will be almost like a part two, where I'll talk about Sony again. The poor mega corporation that just couldn't catch a break in the early 2010s. Until next time, stay secure.